You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. Greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We welcome all you that are listening or on the internet. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1. And God gave us the name of this radio program a little over 18 years ago and told us to call it Raising the Standard. And that's our purpose, is to raise the standard in the body of Christ. There's so many things we see that are just, you know, out of order that God wants to be in order. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. As we mentioned, we're on from 12 noon till 1 every Saturday. And we offer some things that people might be interested in, like my book called God's Prophetic Calendar, Amen. Pictures of the Messiah, all revealed in God's appointed times. And it's an interesting study, so that's available. Somebody like to have a copy of that. All we ask for is a $25 gift and maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling. And we'd be glad to get it out to you. So we're honored to be here with
Amen.
You. And so, Pastor Donnie, I think you got a couple things you want to mention.
I'm going to mention a couple things here, mm-hmm. but you know, I want you to pull your book out, and because we are coming into some feast days that are very important, and I think this book would be very informative to many people who are out there who are hungry to know more things about the feasts of the Lord. And you know, when Pastor Gene started this study many, many years ago, he became really interested in eschatology. Well, eschatology, a lot of people teach eschatology and they don't look at the Hebrew feasts of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to him during prayer. You know, a lot of many things come to us by revelation, by prayer, through prayer. And many things that Paul received is because he spent time with the Lord. And so many of the things that's in this book, the Lord spoke to Pastor Gene about the Jewish people. So he started to look at it in a different viewpoint. Instead of just looking at the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel, which is what he studied much about when he was doing eschatology, the end times, the return, and the New Testament, you know, the return. When is Jesus, when is Yeshua coming back? When is he going to come and catch the church away?
That's right.
How is it going to happen? What's it going to be like in the world when that happens? Well, you know, he started to see more and more that he started getting more and more hungry about the Old Testament and knowing more about the Hebrew and the Hebrew feasts and the Lord. And as he started reading through the books of the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus. Actually, that's where much of this information is at in the law. Well, you know, a lot of people don't like the book of Leviticus, but you know, this is the book that we're reading in right now because mm-hmm. we at Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, we read the Torah portions every year. And the Torah is not the whole Bible. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible, mm-hmm. the very first five books. And actually, the Leviticus is is the one that we're in now. And we're following along with as they would be following along in a synagogue or in Israel or wherever Jews may be that study the Torah. And, you know, I found this out. Each year you read through the Torah, you say, well, I read it once, I don't need to read it again. No, we need to read it over and over again because we need to have, and we tell everybody that comes to Spirit of Prophecy, that we need to have a prophetic eye. We need to see things in the natural and also in the spirit. And I was actually prophesied that once. You know, when you move in the prophetic, you don't only you see things that are in the spirit. And we also don't want to ignore what's in the natural. We need to know what's happening now. We need to know what's on the horizon. We need to know history. And we need to know about the Jewish people and their history and their customs and their life and how God spoke to them. Because God did speak to them. He spoke to them through Moses. And in this book of Leviticus, I found out, and each year you find out something new. This year I found out that when, you know, the Bible says to train up a child in the way he should go, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as we train up a child in the way he should go, we don't start when they're 10 or 11 or 12 or when they become teenagers. No, we have to start when they're very little because they hear your voice. You know, a baby knows the mother's voice when the baby is still in the womb. So they hear your voice. So our voice is a instrument. If we're listening to God, it's an instrument that God uses to train up our children. And so he gives us the instructions on how to do it. And when people start learning the Torah, the Old Testament, Hebrew, the first book is, I thought it would be the book of Genesis. But from what I have looked and read, it's the book of Leviticus. Those were our guidelines and our instructions. And you know, that book is a book of grace. A lot of people say, well, that's a hard book. No, it's a book of grace because God sets up his a standard for us, doesn't he? To live a holy life. And that's what he did with the Jewish people. So as Pastor Gene was doing that, when he got to the book of Leviticus, he started to see about these feasts. And so then he spent time with the Lord. I'm just kind of setting you up, Pastor Gene.
Yeah.
He spent time with the Lord. I mean, much time seeking the Lord. He's even added parts to the book, even the last 2 days. He got that revelation just laying on the floor and praying one day. And then went home and started writing everything down the Lord spoke to him. So he started seeing these things. And so then he said, well, you know, there's more to this. I need to know more. So he started to study the feast. And then he realized that the end times, eschatology, it's not just from the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation. It's from and what Paul said and others said, but it's in the Old Testament and it's in the feasts. And we must line up with the feasts of God. So if we want to know the truth, see the Bible, the King James Bible says, the truth will make you free. So we want to be free. Do you want to know the truth?
Right.
You know, a lot of people out there, they don't want to know the truth. They want a feel-good gospel. Well, you know, God's gospel is not just a feel-good gospel. It's a gospel. It's the word of God, and it's truth. And, you know, Moses had to do exactly what God told him to do. And, you know, he didn't always do exactly what God told him to do. And neither did the Jews many times. And the reason that for the book of Esther, which is 10 chapters. The reason for this book is because the work wasn't finished with the Agites. Because there's a prophetic word back in the Old Testament, and I believe it's in Numbers, and maybe before that I'd have to look it up. But they were God had told them to destroy all of them, and King Saul didn't do it. So about 1,000 years later, here comes the same generation of people that God said to destroy. And so that's why Esther and Mordecai, and that's why it's in this book. And doesn't say the book of Mordecai, it says the book of Esther. Well, you know, they worked together as a team.
They sure did.
It took both of them to work together as a team. And they were in agreement. You know, the Bible says when we're in agreement, you know, it's like the oil that comes down over the priest's head.
That's right.
Goes to the feet, mm-hmm. and it will touch all the people, because all the Jews were protected and saved because of this. But because King Saul disobeyed God, this is why this had to happen. Because God said that these people were going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
The remembrance of them is going to be wiped out. They're going to be destroyed.
It became a thorn in their side, didn't it?
You know, because when they came out of Egypt, these people came against the Jewish people. And God did not like that. God does not like any nation who comes against Israel or his people. So, you know, America better watch out. And we may pray that our next president will stand alongside of Israel, and we need to be their allies. They have many people over there that are not their allies. Well, anyways, what I was saying was, when he started this study, he started to see more and more of the feasts. And then his study turned to studying each feast to the most that he could. And I'm sure there's more that we could learn. There's always more. I like what Heidi Baker says. There's always enough.
Yeah.
There's always more.
Yeah.
God always is opening our eyes. So even as we're reading through the book of Leviticus, God is opening our eyes. And I don't know how many times I've read the book of Esther, but I found out something else this year as I was reading through the book of Esther. And it's in chapter 1, verse 10. This is when Vashti wouldn't, you know, she was in the, they were having a feast for the women.
Yeah, party, drunken
right?
party.
And they wanted to bring her in for the men to see.
Yeah.
It says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded, there's a name, I'm not going to pronounce it, I'm not sure. It's human on the end, it's interesting. Mehuman, I may pronounce that wrong, but it's spelled Mehuman. And I think about that, you know,
with Haman's name,
Haman
right?
had human thoughts and human feelings, and his desire was to destroy the Jews, mm-hmm. because, you know, he was brought, he is of the generation of the what? Those people, the Agites.
Back or in the Saul's day, yeah.
Right? He was from that generation, and almost like 1,000 years later, here he comes along the line, and he's part of this group of these chamberlains that were for the king. Well, he was the one, he was one of them, one of the seven. He's the first one mentioned. And he's also the one who also speaks of getting rid of Vashti and replacing her with someone more honorable. Mm-hmm. Well, isn't that a prophetic word? Esther definitely was more honorable than Vashti. Well, this name, Mehuman, in verse 10 of chapter 1 of Esther, is Haman. And I did not realize that until I read and I started saying, well, you know, he actually wasn't given the ring at this time, but he was one of the seven who became the next in line to the king who he thought the highest of, and gave him all these things and listened to him. He listened to all these bad suggestions, you know. And so I thought that was quite interesting. And so as we see that name through the Bible, this Mehuman, mm-hmm. you'll see that if you would look at that, you'll see that that is, the Jewish people believe that that is, that's Haman's name. You know, some people have more than one name, don't they?
True.
Esther had more than one name, didn't she? Her real name was Hadassah.
Hadassah, right.
Hadassah. But anyways, as he continued to go on and do the study, a lot from the book of Leviticus, right, Pastor Gene?
Yeah.
And he started studying each feast as it goes. So at the very beginning, let's just mention the different chapters that you have in this book. One of the first chapters is about the calendar.
Right.
We need to know the calendar. And, you know, before I go any further, Pastor, I'm going to give our telephone number.
Okay.
Because we do have services here in Stuart, Florida, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. So Sunday morning is at 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be having a guest speaker this coming Sunday. wonderful man named, his last name is Koo. Where are they from? Where's he from?
Somewhere
the
over.
The Orient?
Yeah,
I'm not
I forget
sure
what country he's from. Bob Koo and his wife
Bob
Trish.
Bob Koo and his Bob Trish called of God, and they go, they're in Key West right now, but you know, they spent time in the farthest point of Alaska to the Eskimos.
A long time, yeah.
A couple times this year, even during mm-hmm. the coldest time.
Yeah.
They go anywhere, minister to anyone, and they move in the prophetic. His wife does, particularly, and they are an awesome couple. She's an American, and I'm not sure exactly his nationality is, but I'll have to find that out again this weekend. But
we don't know the calendar, we're in trouble.
We have to know the calendar. So why don't you go right to the beginning and just give them the names. Let's just read the different topics that we have in there.
Oh, in
the first one is the calendar.
Yeah.
Because if we don't understand the calendar, we won't understand the
right.
feast days.
Okay.
So the first one is the calendar.
First of all, we talk about the teaching instruction of the Torah.
Mm-hmm. And that's the best. That's very
that's
important.
Right. And then the lesson one, part two, talks about the 7,000 years to restoration. God has a plan for mankind in the world.
7,000 years.
7,000 years to the end.
And so we're coming close,
aren't we? We're coming close to the 6,000 years, so that won't be long. The millennial reign will be set up. Lesson two, then, is God's prophetic calendar. In lesson two, part two, we talk about the Feast of Passover. So the calendar is up near the front. It's very important to know that the biblical calendar we look at, it's a lunar calendar, not a solar calendar. And if we try to mix the two up and pick dates, you're going to be wrong.
And the other thing, before we let's just spiritually ask the Lord to show us as we go along this year. The spiritual calendar, there's actually two calendars, and people don't understand that. And there's one place in the Bible where it says that God changed the calendar.
That's right.
Okay. And
Exodus 12.
So you might want to write this down. You can go and look it up. Exodus 12 verses
1, 2, and 3.
1, 2, and 3. That's so God
the
has...
beginning of their months.
God, we need to look at the prophetic calendar, or some people call it the religious calendar, but
we like
the word spiritual calendar or prophetic calendar.
Right.
The other calendar is the civil calendar.
Right.
And that has to go along with the seasons and crops, okay?
That's right.
And so we're coming up on, well, very soon, right now, we're in the month of Adar, but we're coming to the month of Nisan.
That's right.
Which is the very first month. It is what? The prophetic calendar.
Prophetic
calendar, and that is when that's the next feast that we're going to be talking about, which is Passover.
Yeah.
Now, Passover comes in Nisan. Nisan has not come yet.
No.
Okay.
But the beauty about this, thinking about this, God chose the Passover season to change His calendar.
That's it.
To make it the beginning of the months and all. And why? Because Jesus was going to be born and come at that particular time, and He's going to die, you know, in those period of years. So it's very important how He picked that time to show that.
Mm-hmm. And even some Bibles, as you read them, even King James Bibles, some Bibles, they'll say it's they got it mixed up.
That's right.
They have it mixed up. So as we're going to be talking about Passover coming up, well, you know, a lot this Sunday people are celebrating
the resurrection
of Jesus, of Jesus. Well, they don't use the word Yeshua, and they don't use the word resurrection. They say Easter.
Yeah.
Easter is a pagan
name.
Pagan. Get that in your spirit. Get that in your mind. Everyone says, come celebrate us with Easter. Come and look for Easter eggs. Come and bunnies and candy and all this. That is all pagan. Do you want to worship a pagan god? Well, when you do that, you're worshiping a pagan gods, because there are pagan gods that do those things. That's not what Yeshua did. Yeshua died during the month of Nisan. So we haven't come to that month yet. People are celebrating Resurrection Day this coming Sunday. Well, we need to stay on God's calendar. So when the month of Nisan is the when Yeshua, when Passover starts, and there's several days during that time.
Those are Nisan 10, actually literally, until the 21st.
Nisan 10.
Including unleavened bread and all that, you know.
Okay.
That's considered the Passover season, yeah.
And Jesus came into Jerusalem on what day?
On Nisan 10.
Okay.
He rode in on the donkey, yeah.
And on Nisan
14, he was put on the cross.
He was put on the cross.
All right, just like
and
the
And he was there for how long?
For 6 hours.
Six hours.
9 a.m. till 3 p.m.
And why was he on there for 6 hours?
Because he had to fulfill to be our Messiah. Yeshua to fulfill everything in the Word of God that pertains to him prophetically. And so he had to be the free will offering that was done at 9 in the morning, and he had also be the one that was done at 3 in the afternoon. That's why he had to stay on the cross for 6 hours to fulfill that.
So when you found this out about the 6 hours, how did you find that out? In the first covenant. In the book of?
Leviticus.
Leviticus.
That's right.
So this is where we're reading right now. So if you're reading the Torah portions, I would suggest you start reading them, because we just only begun it, you know, the book of Leviticus. So if you're reading that, and you can get that information online, I can send it to you. I can send you a Torah portion schedule if you'd like to have one. Just give us a call, that phone number, 285-7007. So if you're reading that, you will find out about these different feasts as we go through reading the book of Leviticus.
That's right.
He had to be on the cross for 6 hours because they had two sacrifices, one at 9 when he was put on the cross. And of course, we know we're not going to talk about all of Passover, but we know it was dark about halfway through that time. And then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that's called the what?
Evening sacrifice.
Sacrifice. It's between the evenings. He gave up the ghost and he said, it is finished. And in the temple, what happened, Pastor Gene? There was a priest, a high priest.
That's right.
What did he do?
Well, if you think about this time, the high priest had to kill a lamb in the temple at 9 in the morning and also at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. But remember, Passover is a picture of individual salvation. So all the families had to do the same thing in their homes, okay? But on that particular day, at the close of that day on Nisan 14, the high priest went up the steps of the altar, and there was a lamb tied to the altar, and that lamb wasn't being sacrificed for the entire world or all the Jewish people like they do at a Day of Atonement. But it was a picture of individual salvation. So when he went up to the steps and he took a knife and he cut that lamb's throat and he said, it is finished. He said, what he was saying was, it's the last sacrifice of the day. At the exact same moment, at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, our Lord on that cross spoke up and said, it is finished, revealing to the world that he's the last sacrifice that will ever be required for sin.
Done.
It's finished.
So, you know, when they go and they wring a chicken's neck or they do something,
right.
It's just a man-made.
It's legalism.
It's right. And it doesn't do anything.
Nope.
It doesn't do anything. But Jesus said, it is finished. This is the last sacrifice. My blood finishes it.
His blood.
And, you know, a lot of people don't want to talk about the blood of Yeshua.
Right, that's right.
Well, we talk about the blood of Yeshua.
Amen.
A lot.
It's ever powerful.
And we talk about the cross. And we talk about the Word of God. We want truth. So he died at that time on the 14th of Nisan. Okay, they put him in a grave. He was in the grave. And also in this part, you talk about the days, because we do not believe it was a Friday.
Nope.
Okay, now we don't have time to get into that. You'll have to buy the book to find that out, okay?
Some people believe it's Wednesday, but I believe it was Thursday that he died, yeah.
Right, some people believe Wednesday, some people believe Thursday, but it was not on a Friday, okay?
Nope, couldn't have been.
So it couldn't have been on a Friday. So anyway, so he died, and then he was in his, you know, his soul and his spirit did not die.
Nope.
Some people believe that. They did not die.
It's just his body.
and his body, that's right. And, you know, even you go back to Lazarus, it's 4 days before the body begins to
decay.
So, he rose from the grave on the 17th
of Nisan.
Well, if we look through the Old Testament, you will get goosebumps, because many things happened on the 17th of Nisan.
It's all through the scriptures.
I want you to tell them, the people, let's start from the beginning. Tell them some of the things that happened on the 17th of Nisan.
Okay. Well, we can do it. Now, before we talk about that, I'm just thinking about this. Remember, Yeshua, to be our Messiah, had to fulfill everything that was written in Exodus 12 about the Lamb. It's a pattern, a foreshadow of him. He had to fulfill all of that. Well, anyway, you're talking about these times, okay? You can go over to Genesis, I think it's in chapter 8. And it tells you when the ark rested in the mountains of Ararat.
Wow.
And that was on Nisan 17, okay?
Wow.
Now, that was on the old civil calendar, but you can see the time and the season when it was. And so we got all these pictures all the way through the Bible at this time. Another thing we have is when they came out of Egypt.
Egypt.
They came to the Red Sea.
Amen.
Okay? and they got there on the eve of the 16th of Nisan. You can study it in your Bible. It's there. And then it, in the evening on the 16th, it became Nisan 17. The next morning, between 3 and 6 a.m., the morning watch, when Jesus rose from the grave, they came through the Red Sea at that particular time. So there's another one on the exact same day.
And also, the enemy was destroyed at that time.
That's right.
Because Pharaoh...
He was the enemy.
And people think Pharaoh was staying on the bank. No, Pharaoh went in the sea, and it was deep. Okay, it wasn't 5 feet. It wasn't 10 feet. It wasn't 5 inches. It was deep.
Deep. Yeah.
They went through there, and they were destroyed.
That's
so
right.
The enemy was destroyed on the 17th of Nisan as well.
That's
so
right.
What else happened?
Well, we're talking about Esther's
we're
day.
Talking about
okay.
Esther.
You look at the scriptures really close over there,
mm-hmm.
and. We see that they cast lots at the Passover season and all that. And so then Esther wanted two banquets. And I always question why there was two. The reason why is because God wanted the second one to be on the right date, date that Haman was going to die. Okay. And so she had the first banquet, and the king asked her what her desire was. She says that I have another banquet with you and Haman tomorrow. So the next day, this was on Nisan 16. The next day was the 17th, the exact day that Jesus Christ would raise from the grave in the future. So what happened on Nisan 17 in Esther's day? Haman was hung on the gallows. And what's he a picture of?
Destroying the works of the enemy.
And also the false Messiah.
That's right. So
he was destroyed on Nisan 17. All right.
And what did Jesus do? He went and he took the keys.
Hell
and death. And he gave us what? Power and authority to walk in his light and in his name. And because his name, he says, we're to pray to the Father. You know, a lot of people pray to Jesus.
The Father in Yeshua's name.
We know that Jesus is God, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. But Jesus said, pray to the Father in my name.
Amen.
So we pray to Yahweh, to the Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yeshua. Yeah. Right.
HaMashiach.
That's right.
So he destroyed the works of the enemy.
So all these Nisan 17s came down, and Jesus was the conclusion of all of it. He came out of the grave on that particular day.
Well, anything else happened on Nisan 17?
Well, what are you talking about?
In the future.
Oh, in the future? Well, we don't have anything for sure exact on that date, but the key thing is everything. See, the whole picture and teaching of the whole Bible is about the Messiah, about Yeshua.
Amen.
He's the center object of all of it.
That's right. So
the Passover is so important. That's why I got those charts in this book. The key thing is mid-trib at the Passover. This is when everything is going to come to a conclusion in those last 3.5 years. And so everything points to what Jesus did while he was here on the earth. And so it's
the Antichrist will set up his, during that time of the Jacob's trouble, it's called in the Jacob's trouble. During that time, the Antichrist will set up
an abomination of desolation at Purim.
At Purim.
That's right.
That's right.
And then 30 days later.
Right. Okay.
We come to when he's going to take away all the sacrifices, all the Jewish understanding, the teaching, the Torah. He's going to remove all of that, and all hell's going to break loose for 3.5 years.
That's right. And he's going to defile the temple. He's going to defile
the temple. It's all in the scriptures.
So here we see that, you know, God, we see a pattern, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
We see a pattern. Just like when we first started, got born again, they say the bloodline goes all through the Bible.
Yeah, it sure does.
It's like a pattern.
Yeah.
So here we see a pattern of things that happen during the feast days.
That's
now, we've only talked about a little bit about, we've only talked about really Passover, and we really haven't even touched on all the things that happened during that time.
That's right.
But we need to think about these things. We need to know more. We need to get hungry for the truth. And we need to get back into the some people call this the New Testament. Well, this is really called the first.
You mean the Old Testament?
Yeah,
It's really the first covenant.
First covenant.
And it's still valid, a lot of it today.
It's very valid.
That's right.
And you know, Jesus didn't say he came to remove or destroy the law.
Sure did. He came to fulfill it.
He came to fulfill the law.
And he did.
And you know, the book of Leviticus is full of love and grace.
Yeah.
And you know, when you bring up a child in the way they should go, you know, you do have to teach them the right thing.
You sure do.
And you know, when you don't, they suffer loss. And you know, many times the Jewish people, including Saul, who was a king of Israel.
That's right.
They suffer loss because they didn't teach, they didn't do what God said.
Told them to
they
do.
They didn't obey. See, it says what?
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
It's better than sacrifice. And you know, that has not changed.
Nope.
We all will pay the
price.
The price for things that we do right and wrong.
That's
even,
right.
Even in our eating.
Sure.
Even in our health. You know, even in many areas of our life. Mm-hmm. And how we live our life, what we do. I tell young people, don't be anxious to go and find somebody to marry or something. You know, wait. Wait on the Lord. Don't make mistake after mistake after mistake.
Happens
you know,
all the time.
God wants us to find the right person, have the right person. I don't know why I'm talking about marriage, but God wants the right person, and He has the right person for us if we will just wait, because God's timing is perfect. You know, the things that we want, sometimes we want them ahead of time.
Sure.
But you know, it's okay to have a desire, but wait for God to fulfill the desire. Don't make things happen on your own. A lot of people make things happen. And so, you know, when you make things happen, it doesn't work. And we can see examples where people tried to make things happen through the Old Testament. I'll say Old Testament because most people understand what you're saying. But, you know, the New Testament, which you call, you like it, the name Renewed Testament.
That's what it is. It's a Renewed Testament.
Jesus didn't come to destroy the law.
No. Nope.
And people use that word. They don't understand that the word law has more than one meaning.
That's right.
Now, you know, we're just leading, being led by the Lord, because you've taught about this too. And I think you need to tell people about, because it talks about the law over there in the book of
Romans. Chapter 7. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Remember, this word is in the Greek is the word nomos, spelled N-O-M-O-S.
Right.
And you have to look at the context. We talk about the ABCs in the Bible, always based on context. And so if we have a text, okay, and we don't look at the context, we can come up with a pretext, whatever we think it means. But it's very clear what God says over there. So that word nomos has three meanings. It can mean the whole Torah.
Right.
It can mean a commandment or a statute, and it also can, I will term my life, it can mean a controlling principle, okay?
Controlling principle.
To control people's lives. And if you read Romans chapter 7 with that thought in mind, you'll see, because every time it's mentioned law there, does not mean it's the Torah.
That's
if
right.
We don't understand that, then we're getting all confused with everything. And so we talk about this, you know, in Paul's day, the Greek language doesn't have any kind of a Greek letter word, I should say, for legal, legalistic, or legalism. And so Paul came up with a word, and he called it what? Works of the law. In other words, changing the Torah into some form of legalistic works. And that's what he was coming against, okay?
And that's what the Sadducees and Pharisees were doing.
That's what they did. That's what they were doing. Think about it. There was 213 original commandments,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, today now, I forget what it is, 630 some. And so down through history, the rabbis and the sages, I call them fences. They take those 213 commandments and they would make up these other commandments. Now, this is legalism, a fence around the one that was there, like for the Passover, to make sure the people kept the one that they're talking about. Well, all those other commandments that they're talking about were man-made commandments and not of God. And Jesus told them that.
Works
he says, you're teaching my people commandments of men and not the things of God. Okay?
That's right.
And so those are those fences. And so this is how we got into this. And so we got all these laws today that was not in the Bible to start with. Man has put those in there. And we have a lot of that going on in the church today, too.
Oh,
don't
for
we?
Sure.
Sure.
For sure
That's
we
right.
have a lot of that going on in the church
That's
today.
Right.
You know, we need to be led by the Spirit. And, you know, it's Spirit of Prophecy. That is our desire to be. We don't actually go in and plan a
nope.
sermon, just like right now. We did not
plan
anything. We sat down and we pray and we asked the Lord what to show us. And, you know, He shows us one thing. But, you know, when you get a prophetic word, He's not going to show you the whole picture. He shows us one thing and then maybe it'll lead to something else. And the Spirit will lead you to something else. Just like right now, the Lord is saying, well, people don't really understand what you're talking about. So next week, why don't we'll pray about it. And perhaps we can go to Romans in that chapter and we can go through each one and you can explain to them the people when it means Torah and when it means works of the law. And so and then that perhaps when they read through that and they just see the word law, they won't have just a mindset. See, that's what happens. People get a mindset.
That's right.
And they don't really dig in for themselves. So what we need to do is dig in and see exactly what what it says and what it means, because the law is good.
It sure is.
And
Paul said it was good
Paul
for us.
Paul said the law was good.
Just and holy, yeah.
That's right. It's holy. And that's why the book of Leviticus is so important that we learn this and we know we read it. This, especially now, this is the time the Jewish people are reading it. And if you're reading it along with the Jewish people, I believe that we have an extra blessing.
That's right.
We have an extra blessing, and that we'll have greater understanding, and it will help us to even share with the Jewish person. Because, you know, once you begin to have understanding, God will begin to put these people in your path so that you can share, that you know something about their, that you may know more about their religion than they know, because many Jewish people, they don't know a whole lot about
their own religion.
Their own religion.
That's right.
They don't know a whole lot.
You know,
about
I'm thinking about these words. There's two words in the Greek language. One's for a woman and one's for a man.
Mm-hmm.
Aner and gune. Well, if you when you look at Timothy and all, which talks about a woman, mm-hmm. well, they translate sometimes that woman as a woman. But we have to go back to those ABCs. We look at the context, what's being talked about, and we find out they can also mean a wife. And most of the places it means a wife, or it can mean just any man, or can mean what? A husband. And so we have to understand that. If we don't, we're going to miss out.
And that's where the legalism comes in the church about a woman shouldn't be
preaching.
In the pulpit, shouldn't
that's
be preaching. She only, her job is just to be in the kitchen or changing diapers.
And, misconception, you know, misinterpretation.
That's not true, because there were women apostles in the early church. So there's, you see how the Lord is just kind of leading Pastor Gene. So here, that chapter was about the Passover. Was which chapter was that? The first, second chapter?
Second chapter, yeah.
Second chapter.
Second lesson.
So we're going to be talking about more and more about Passover as next week and the following week. And maybe we'll talk about the law next week, and because we have a little bit of time, you know, because the Passover comes, and I want you to remember this, it comes in Nisan.
That's right.
And if you don't have a Nisan, and so you need to know that.
It can't be in the month of Adar, like we're saying right now.
It's not in the month of Adar, it's the month of Nisan.
That's right.
And so the next one is the next topic that you have.
Well, after the Passover, then
we have
two lessons on the Passover. And then the next lesson, which is four, is about the first fruits of the resurrection.
First
when Christ
fruits.
Came out of the grave, okay. What date was that? Nisan 17. Okay, so we have a whole chapter. By the way,
there was
the
a
lesson,
token resurrection
right,
too.
The lesson that I have here on Purim, it's the longest lesson in the entire book that
awesome.
I wrote.
Oh, awesome.
There's so much in it. So we have to remember, everything has to be based on God's calendar, and everything revolves around His appointed times.
And
we got most of the church that doesn't want anything to do mm-hmm. with the Jewish things. But see, that's the foundation. Jesus says salvation came by the Jews. And so we got to look at His appointed times, and everything will line up. He has a 7,000-year program to restore mankind and the earth back to the way it was in the Garden of Eden. So we're getting close to 6,000 years now. And so we can see what He's got in mind. And so if we look at it all, we can put it all together. And God never misses by one day. So you can't take the days you see in the Bible, like over in Daniel chapter 12 and all, and you can't turn those into years. That's called improper exegesis. You got, you know, the days are the days. If He tells you, you can add have a year for each day, that's a different story. But if not, we got to take it literally for what it says.
That's literally. What
I did with this book, and it's blown me away. And the more I read, the more I see, I just get so excited, because God's got the plan right here, and we're off on all these tangents going this way and that way, and somebody believes this and all over. And one guy I heard on TV not long ago, he said he believed that at Passover this year, that the tribulation was going to start. Well, we're way past Passover, you know, of last year, I mean, not this year, way past Passover last year, and we're not in the Jacob's trouble. There's no signs, there's nothing there, we know. And so, you know, this should give you an encouragement, should build your faith to know that we can trust the Word of God, and everything fits together like a glove. He doesn't miss by anything, and God's wanting you to know the whole story. Put down this love book that He gave us, the Bible, from the beginning to end, that you can put it together, and it's not as complicated as everybody makes it out to be. There's a reason for every one of the appointed times. They have a historical event that happened, but also they all have a prophetic implication to the future, and this is what we have to understand. Donna was talking about a little bit ago about when Jesus came out of the grave. It tells you over there after His resurrection, you know, it says that the tombs were opened, and it says there was a huge number of people that came out of those graves after His resurrection, and they were seen in the city. So there must have been some people that were alive at one time that they recognized. Well, why would Jesus have a group of people come out of the grave at that time? Well, here's the answer. If you go over to Leviticus chapter 23, we look at the feast of first fruits, we find out that the priest had to take He took a great big bunch of barley, and had hundreds of seeds on it, took it into the temple, and he waved it before the Lord to be accepted by the Lord. And so all each one of those kernels prophetically on that barley sheaf represents a human being that was going to come. And so Jesus had to fulfill that waving of the sheaf in his day, and he did it when he allowed that resurrection, or that token resurrection of those unbelievers, I shouldn't say unbelievers, of believers that came out of the grave. Now, we don't know how many they were, but there must have been a lot of them. And so these things had to be fulfilled. Everything had to be fulfilled exactly the way God had it planned. And so Yeshua himself had to fulfill that. Remember when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, and Jesus wanted him to baptize him, and he says, no, he says, you should be baptizing me. But you know what Jesus said to him? He says, suffer it to be so now that we might fulfill all righteousness. And he says, allow it to happen that we might fulfill all righteousness. And why? Because he was alive at that time, but he was preparing to go into his high priestly office. Look at the first covenant. What happened? When a high priest was put into office, what did they do? First of all, they took a mikvah, which was a bath. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. And then they had to sacrifice an animal also for their sins and all that. And so we see all the steps that were there for him to become the high priest. So to be purified at that time. Remember, the high priest in that day stayed in office until he died. Yeshua is a permanent high priest office. And so Yeshua had to fulfill all that. So at his water baptism, what happened? The same thing. You know, the high priest back in the first covenant, they were anointed with oil also on that particular day. So here we are. You know, Jesus went into the water. He was water baptized. He took a mikvah, just like they did with the priest of old. All right. And then the pattern of the dove came down. The Holy Ghost came down upon him. And that was his anointing, just like the priest in the first covenant, the high priest. He was anointed with oil. So he was anointed. And then, of course, there had to be a sacrifice, all right, to fulfill that office. Well, what was Yeshua's sacrifice at that particular time? It was going to come in the future. He himself would fulfill the sacrifice. Isn't that amazing when you think about it?
Awesome.
So all the patterns are there prophetically. We just need to have a prophetic mind to look at things the way God wants us to look at, instead of the old humdrum stuff that we've heard and read about for 200 or 300 years, the same old stuff that Jesus died on Friday and all that, all the stuff that we have about Easter and all the stuff that's been man-made and legalistic. We need to be set free. And the King James Bible says, if you know the Lord and walk with the Lord and know his word, his words will what? Make you free. And so this is what we got to do. When you find out the truth, then you do things a new way. I've had people laugh at me, mock me about this, but I'm telling you, this is all in the Word of God. I'm not giving you one thing on this radio program today that you can't find in the Word of God. And so I wish we could do a lot more in-depth teaching on this, but we only have a certain amount of time. But several years ago, we had a seminar at the church. We had a lot of people come from other churches as well, had a huge class, and we went through this entire book from cover to cover. We had, at that time, I only had 16 lessons in it, and I got a couple more. But we did 16 weeks, and we spent about an hour and a half to an hour and 45 minutes, or also close to 2 hours, on every single lesson in here. All the scriptures are in here to back it up. It's not what Pastor Gene thought. It's what the Word of God says. And he told me when I wrote this book, he said, don't you put anything in that book that you can't have at least two witnesses to prove what you're saying. Because if you do, you're going to get into error. Because see, men want to put their thoughts and their opinions into certain things. Well, I don't want that. I want what God says and nothing else. This is the uncorrupted Word of God. And we got so many other Bibles out there that have been butchered. These translations, they've taken words out, things that are so important for us to know. So we're staying with the King James Version Bible. And when we do, we're going to get the truth of all of this. And so God's opened this all up. And so I did all this. And right now, this book has 17 lessons on it. And then I have 3 appendixes in the back of the book. And we have 10 charts in the back of the book. The pictures are worth 1,000 words.
The charts are absolutely awesome.
They're awesome.
And we're going to go ahead and read those. But I want to share something here real quick.
Okay.
Because, you know, God will destroy every enemy that we
have.
That's
right.
And we can look, you know, we are spiritual Israel. Now, a lot of people don't believe that, but if you're born again, if you're born of the Spirit, you know, you're grafted in, and
yes,
we should go there and talk about that.
That's
we are
right.
grafted in.
Hallelujah.
To the original, to the glory to God. We are grafted in
with the Jewish people.
And this book, we take this whole book. We don't just take part of it. We don't just take what we call the New Testament. We need all of the Word of God. You know, when you eat something, you need a healthy diet.
Sure.
This, if you're just taking the New Testament, you're not getting a complete healthy diet. And you know, God will do everything that He said. And I'm going to go back here to Exodus chapter 17. We remember that there was a battle when the Israel came out of Egypt, and the first people they battled were these people of Amalek.
Yeah, the Amalekites. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, remember that Moses' hands had to be held up.
That's right.
Well, and we can look at that as a church. We need to hold each other's hands up. And how do we do that? In prayer, in seeking the Lord, and being together. They work together as a team. You know, we have to be as a team. The church is so divided and so confused that we're really battling each other, you know, and we're not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we may not all agree on every single situation, but you know, we're to love each other and to trust the Lord, and the Lord will bring the truth. We don't have to cram something down somebody's throat. We don't try to cram this book down anyone's throat. You know, they're hungry. There's people that are teaching this book in many different places, in Baptist churches. Of course, you know, we're a full gospel church. But you know, this book is not about being a full gospel church. This book is about the things of the Lord, the feasts of the Lord, the end times, the eschatology. What is
all
on
about
the
Messiah?
We need to know what's on the horizon.
That's it.
And you're not going to know what's going to happen unless you know the beginning.
The entire Bible.
You have to know the beginning
from the end.
And a lot of people want to go to the end of a book and read the last few pages.
That's right.
And say, maybe I won't read the book. You know,
that's right.
No, we need to start in the beginning. Well, you know, Moses had to have his hands held up by the elders, you know, of Israel. And it says over here, I'm just going to read the part of it here. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed, and when he let them down his hands, Amalek prevailed.
That's right.
So if we don't hold each other's hands up, the enemy will prevail.
That's right.
And that goes on for today too, because we're looking at a spiritual battle. Remember, we're not fighting flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle, because it's a battle in the heavenlies as well. You know, the devil, the enemy has also his workers that are evil, and they do evil things. It says, but when Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat there, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and the one on the one side and the on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. We got to stay steady with the Lord, steady on course with the Lord.
That's it.
And now he says, and Joshua discomfited the Amalekite, and his people with the edge of the sword.
Yeah.
What kind of sword do we have? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of
Word,
God.
Yeah.
And this is what the Lord said. Yod-Heh-Vav had said this to Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. Now, the book of Esther is a memorial, and it was written on a scroll, and it's 10 chapters. There's a reason for each one of those
God's
things.
God's name is not mentioned on any page, but he's all through.
But his name is mentioned hiddenly certain words, and
that's
I don't have time to go to that right now. But it is in there, okay? It's hidden in there. But you have to know some of the Hebrew to be able to find it. And rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek, and from under heaven. So he said he's going to write it in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I'm going to destroy these people. And it's mentioned other places too. God will totally destroy anyone. These were the first people, the Canaanites of the Canaanites, who came against Israel as they were as they had already come out of the Red Sea, and they were in the wilderness. So we need to know that the enemy is still out there working. Now, Pastor Eugene, we have a few more minutes. I want you to just go ahead and read some of the chapters that people will know that, you know, this is not just a partial work. It's not just a work on just Passover, but it is a complete work. And you know, we put this in, this is in a book, but it's in a 8x11, whatever it is.
Yeah, loose leaf, so you can take
it. It's in a spiral binder. Spiral binder. So, you know, whenever God gives us another truth,
we can add it to the book.
I have this on the computer. I can add it to the book.
That's right.
When next time, in fact, we just need more printed right now because people are buying them and people are taking them and sending them to people. We had somebody come and see us that had received a book from some church in New York. And, you know, she gets books now and gives them out to people. Other people are giving them out. There's a Bible study in Fort Lauderdale. There's one
in Georgia.
There's been sent overseas.
There's one in India we know about, too.
It's not that anything, and we don't, it's not copyright. You know,
that's right.
It's
never not copyright anything.
Because we want to change things. And, you know, the Word of God, the King James Bible, is not copyright. You can copy every single page on here if it hasn't been made by somebody else and they have their opinion.
The footnotes or something.
I'd rather have a Bible that has no man's opinion.
Right.
Okay? Because the Bible says that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, will bring all truth. So if you have the Holy Ghost, and you're not depending on somebody else's word, then, you know, you can listen to other people, but you have to have truth on your own. You have to have that truth.
And settle it in your heart.
And you can't be swayed by other people. You have
to have truth.
And you have to, so you seek truth. You know, the Holy Ghost will teach us. So go ahead before we run out of time.
I keep talking. Okay. Well, we talked about we have two lessons on Passover.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lesson on the first fruits of the resurrections. I said resurrections plural because there's more than one.
Yes, sir.
And then we have a lesson on unleavened bread, two lessons on Daniel's 70th week prophecy, and then we have a lesson on the Feast of Weeks, which is Pentecost, we call it. And then we have a lesson, the wedding of the Messiah is incredible. The 12 steps of a Jewish wedding shows you the whole purpose for Christ, what he came to earth to do. And then we have the Feast of Trumpets, you know, Rosh Hashanah. Then we have two lessons on that, the Feast of Trumpets, part two. There's so much in trumpets that the people don't even know. The Day of Atonement, a lesson we have on that. The Feast of Tabernacles, we have a lesson. The appointed time of Purim, which we're coming into now. The appointed time of Hanukkah. And then we have the conclusion of all things to come. And then I have lesson 17, the last prophetic 2 days. Two tapes involved with that one, all right? And so this is what's in this book. So if you want to study this on your own, you can buy this book for $25 plus maybe $3 or $4 for shipping and handling, and we'll be glad to get it out to you. So this is a college course. This covers everything from beginning to end that every Christian ought to know, but very few people know. I'm just going to share this. We've got time before we close. Don and I went to a Messianic Jewish synagogue several years down in West Palm Beach.
Rabbi Kluge.
And it was on the Day of Atonement. And so when they closed out the day, you know, they didn't eat for 24 hours, and they had this huge meal. So we went down and joined in with them. And when we were done eating, that's right. Rabbi Kluge asked me if I'd like to share something. So I asked him, I said, well, how much time do I have? He says, whatever you want. I said, okay. So everybody left the kitchen area, and we went into their sanctuary there in the congregation. And I guess it was about half Gentile and half Jewish. And on the way in, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell them about Rosh Hashanah. And I didn't cover everything.
And they still call us Gentiles, even though we're born again and we believe in it. But, you know, we're really not.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So he told me to share the Feast of Trumpets. And I didn't cover all of it, but the important thing. And some of those people, they were in total awe. They had never heard that. And some of the people talked to me after I was done and all, how excited they were about what they found out. Because it's all prophetic. But see, even the Messianic congregations that are supposedly know Yeshua, they ought to be, the things in this book, they should be teaching these things to their people so they'll know what the Bible's all about.
They don't know it.
And instead of getting into all the dietary things and all the stuff.
They teach customs
and all that. Just go with the Word of God and let the people learn what God put in place. This is not confusing. It's not difficult for people to understand. Man has messed up the thought with a lot of it, with their opinions and all. See, I don't want my opinion. When I wrote this, I said, Lord, I don't want my opinion. He said, it's not going to be your opinion. Listen to me. You put down what's in the Bible and what I tell you otherwise with it. And that's how I wrote the book. And so
the other thing I'd like to mention too, Pastor Gene, is you don't put just one scripture.
That's right.
How do you look at it?
I need two or three other witnesses to go along with it. He said, don't put anything in here that you don't have at least two witnesses for. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I did. You can't take one scripture and take it out of context, because then everything's going to be wrong. And so that's the way I did it with the Lord. And so it was a pleasure.
So we call it God's prophetic calendar. And
prophetic pictures of the Messiah.
Prophetic pictures of the Messiah.
As revealed in the festivals of the Lord. These are all His. They're not Jewish festivals. They're God's festivals, but He gave them to the Jewish people to honor. So we should be honoring those things also.
Right, because we believe in the Lord, don't we? Yod Heh Vav Heh.
Sure do.
So the Lord is one. One God. One. Remember what it says over there in
That's
Numbers
right.
1. And so these are the feasts of the Lord. And so if they're the feasts of the Lord, we need to know about them. We need to know
Absolutely.
About these feasts. We need to put them in our heart, not just on our mind, or not just in intelligence. A lot of people just have an intelligence, but we need to have it buried in our heart.
That's right.
So that when these times come around, we're excited. We're excited about what happened, about Purim, and about the book of Esther, and how God teaches us to overcome the works of the devil.
That's
you
right.
know, two people. But it wasn't just the two of them, because many of the Jewish people joined in fasting and prayer.
Sure.
Even
did.
Before that, because Haman was, you know, he wanted to kill Mordecai, but then he decided he wanted to kill all the Jews, you know. He wanted to kill every single one
That's
of the
right.
Jews. And so we see that they had the victory. And you know what? You can have the victory too, because God is the same. He's the same yesterday, today,
and tomorrow.
So,
you know, even I wrote this book, and I have a lot of it in my heart, but you can't remember every detail.
No.
So what I do is, when the seasons come around with like Purim, I read the whole chapter that I wrote on that about Purim to refresh your mind. If it's Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is, it's incredible. And so it's nice to have something written. You know, I'd rather have a book than a tape or something, because you can sit down and read it over and over again. And so
mm-hmm.
we're honored to be here with you. Hope you got something out of this today.
Thank you,
We're
Lord.
Down to about a minute and a half to go here with our program. But it's good that Don and I are back in the saddle here again.
We're still recovering.
We're still recovering.
Please keep us in prayer.
Yeah.
There's still things going on that we just don't want to talk about, but we want the report of the
Lord
in Jesus, in Yeshua's name.
Amen.
Well, this is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton. We're blessed to be on this program every Saturday from 12 to 1 o'clock. You can go back and listen to this again on your device. You can go to WCNO.com and just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard. And there are you can listen to this broadcast again. We're blessed to be here. We thank you. We do have services here in Stuart, Florida. Friday night at 7, we have our Shabbat. And Saturday, and we have, actually, we're going to mention this Saturday, we're going to be showing a biblical
movie
of Esther.
Esther.
It's not the one that was in the movie.
It's not One Night with the King.
No, it's a different one.
Mm-hmm.
And then on Sunday, we come together to worship God, because the testimony of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, is the spirit of prophecy.
So
the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. That's area code 772-285-7007.
So I'd like to mention someone. I'd like to have it send an offering for our program. You can make it out to the Spirit of Prophecy Ministries and mail it to Post Office Box 413. It's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. And you'll be blessed, and we'll be blessed to maintain what God's wanting us to do. So as we close this program every week, we tell you, look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do you say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are ready.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of Prophecy.